Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Formication? Don't mind if I do. I'm Adam.
Does anyone smell pennies? I'm Kelly.
You're as cold, if not colder than ice.
I'm Andy.
My name's Sean, and this episode will take your breath away. Welcome to Acid Pop. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Acid Pop. Today, we're going to be talking about nitrogen. So, etymology of the word nitrogen comes from the Greek niter, meaning to form. It was first discovered by a Scottish physician. It was first
A Scottish physician.
Right. It was first discovered by a Scottish physician named Daniel Rutherford in 1772. The name nitrogen was suggested by Jean-Antoine Claude in 1790 after it was found to be a component in nitric acid and nitrates. So, like, well, just keep the pattern going. There was another man named Antoine Lavoisier who suggested instead the name azote from a Greek word meaning no life because it was an asphyxiating gas.
Sure.
Which is a pretty cool name until a bunch of people pointed out to him that pretty much any gas except for oxygen is an asphyxiating gas. So.
And even then, too much oxygen.
Luckily, there is not a phobia of nitrogen. Because that would be a hard one to deal with.
Is there a gas phobia?
I don't know. I didn't look into that. So, time for our acid pop quiz. True or false? Nitrogen smells like copper.
Well,
false.
It's most of the most of the air, and I don't smell copper right now, so I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say true.
Hey, you should've.
But I'm not basing that off of anything.
You should have followed the crowd. Yep, it is most of our atmosphere, and no, it does not smell like copper currently, because nitrogen has...
You guys don't smell copper right now?
Does anybody know the number 5?
You guys don't smell copper right now and every other day?
True or false, nitrogen is in gunpowder.
Yeah, that's true.
These are all just shots in the dark. I'm going to say true.
I'm also going to say true.
Good job, team. It is true.
I feel like they mentioned it in Army of Darkness.
It's part of saltpeter. And the recipe for gunpowder is saltpeter plus sulfur and charcoal.
Saltpeter also used to get rid of your boner.
Well, if you get shot in the head, that'll do it.
My boner. Those are the last words I said.
My dearest Eliza, I've lost my boner.
Were you writing a letter at the same time?
I was.
So going to the periodic table, nitrogen is a metal.
These are all so hard.
You got a 50-50
no,
chance.
No, false.
That's false.
False.
Yeah, you guys got it.
Damn right we did.
Well, here's the crazy thing. There are, in the periodic table, 91 of the 118 elements are metals. And then there's another metalloids, that are another 8 that are metalloids. So yeah, it's a pretty short list that are not metals. And nitrogen is one of them.
One of the metals, Judas Priestium.
Is it? I mean, yeah, of course it isn't.
Nitrogen emits the visible light of the aurora borealis.
True.
True.
False.
Oh, it is true.
Shoot.
At least in part.
Nitrogen is green, kind of.
Well... Actually, nitrogen is responsible for the blues and the reds.
Like I said, greens.
The greens are from the oxygen.
I thought oxygen was red. I had it totally backwards.
The nitrogen of aurora borealis. In your kitchen. At this time of year.
All right, short answer segment. Nitrogen freezes at what temperature? I'll take Fahrenheit or Celsius.
Oh, good. More options.
I'm going to go with 0 Celsius.
Okay. Which, if that were the case, I'd remind you that if you walked outside and it was 32 degrees...
Yep, I...
Oh, God, all our nitrogen.
I'm sticking to it.
We all turn into Han Solo.
All the crystals.
The air is particularly thick today, dear.
I'm going to have to say it's pretty damn cold. Indeed. Like, because you don't see the nitrogen freezing up in, like, Canada when it gets, like, below 20.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say negative 100.
Okay. In what?
Fahrenheit.
Okay.
I'm going to say 200 Kelvin.
200 Kelvin. That's not too far off the mark, actually.
What?
It's minus 210 degrees Celsius, which would be... Whew. What is that? That's not quite...
I don't know.
That's like 100 and something Kelvin, I think.
You're asking me to do a lot of
that. So that's minus 346 degrees in Fahrenheit. So pretty darn cold. But it is, of oxygen, the warmest freezing temperature. So oxygen is minus 361 Fahrenheit, 218 Celsius, and hydrogen is minus 435 Fahrenheit and minus 259 Celsius. So if you're going to freeze air, nitrogen is going to freeze first out of the air, which is one of the reasons why it was one of the first elements discovered, because we couldn't get real cold until recently. Cold enough to freeze oxygen anyway. So, we know that nitrogen is most of the atmosphere, but how much is it, percentage-wise?
Let's go with...
8%.
Most. 75.
Okay.
80?
You guys got right around it, 78%.
Yeah, we all got right around it.
Good job. Liquid nitrogen is what color?
You know, I've...
Clear.
I've been in the room with liquid nitrogen, and I haven't seen it. I'm going to go with clear, like Adam.
I feel like the answer is smoky. I don't know. It's usually what you see.
Right?
The color is opaque.
White.
Actually, Adam and Andy got it. It is clear. It looks just like water.
Yeah, don't put it right next to your ice water.
Yeah.
Ice water doesn't normally bubble in steam.
Maybe yours doesn't. There's that copper smell again.
If you were dunked in liquid nitrogen, would you sink or float?
Float.
I'm going to say float.
I wouldn't care anymore.
Yeah.
I would be dead, but I would probably be floating.
But we're mostly water and ice floats.
Yeah, but ice floats because when water freezes, it forms a crystal lattice, so it actually expands.
Well, but the same thing happens with blood.
Yeah.
I don't know enough to say that's true or false.
I also think we float.
As neither, you would die.
Trick question.
Time.
Was that really the answer?
Yep, that was my answer.
I have to know.
Yep.
Dead things float too.
As it has told us.
You stop caring at that point. So time for some terms. This is maybe my favorite term ever. So what is formication?
Well.
That was an M. An M.
Didn't know it was that kind of podcast.
We got the explicit warning.
Kelly's small giggle is my favorite thing in the world.
I mean, you're old enough to know this stuff by now, Sean.
She turns her head away like a Japanese schoolgirl. There she goes again.
What was the question?
Formication.
What does formication mean?
It has to do with nitrogen?
Uh-huh. In a way.
That's when the cold penetrates your cells and freezes them.
Okay.
Andy's still on the fornication thing.
Look, I'm just going off what I know.
I'm going to say it's the process. It's the process of extracting nitrogen from something.
Okay.
I really don't know, though.
I'm going to say it's something to do with the mix in the air, how much nitrogen there is.
That's my other favorite word, which is stoichiometry. But no, formication is the sensation of bugs crawling on or in your skin.
Oh, I have heard of that.
Yeah. Which we'll get into why that's relevant a little bit later.
I've never formicated.
Not on a first date, anyways.
What does Terravana mean?
It's Terravana is where you buy terracotta pottery. Pottery.
Pottery. Come on down to Terravana.
Well, I was going to say it's a low-budget horror movie filmed in Georgia.
It's a Tarzan that lives in the bayou.
Terravana is nitrogen poisoning.
Ooh, yeah, that's actually right. It's a...
I was about to say that.
Yeah, it's a Polynesian
word. Didn't give me a chance.
It's a Polynesian word for decompression sickness.
Oh.
Yep.
Polynesian.
Well, which is nitrogen poisoning.
Yeah, basically.
The bends.
Yep. So what does MAP, M-A-P, stand for?
Crap, I used to know. I've heard this.
I haven't heard this.
Wait.
MAP stands for when Dora needs to get somewhere real fast.
So you got three letters to work with. Just name them off.
Many auspicious platypi.
Good.
Multiple aerial particles.
Mm.
Maybe also participate?
Yeah, the MAP is something you're going to have to know as a teacher, Andy.
Yep. It is modified atmosphere packaging. Or packing.
Okay.
So here's the thing. If you keep fruit out in the oxygen, it oxidizes, as most things do in oxygen, and starts to rot and decompose. But if you pack fruit in pure nitrogen, it holds off decomposition. So when they ship things like apples, they fill the containers with nitrogen so that they stay fresh longer.
I have heard that before. I've never heard a MAP, though.
Yeah.
Gives them that delicious coppery tang.
So what is nitromist?
This is some sort of villain, isn't it?
That's the smoke that comes off the liquid nitrogen.
Yeah. I wish it were.
See, that's what I was about to guess.
That's why I had to speak fast.
Nitromist is... it's just fog.
Nothing but swamp gas.
I'm going to say it's fog. Since it's a bunch of our atmosphere, nitromist is fog.
I'm going to say it's what Kelly said. I'm going to take advantage of her fast talking.
You know what they say, the next best thing to being right is being wrong with your friends. So, nitromist is a brand of nitroglycerin.
See, otherwise I would have just been wrong alone.
Because nitroglycerin is a something you take for heart conditions. This helps with several different heart conditions. So, nitrogen is... oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the end of our quiz. So, congratulations. You survived.
I thought there were more questions.
Nope, that's it. So, nitrogen is super useful. As I mentioned, it keeps food from rotting. It's used in beer to make smaller, less agitating bubbles.
It's a miracle gas.
It's a component of nitrous oxide, which is laughing gas. Nitric acids, which are in fertilizers. But it's also kind of dangerous. Nitrous oxide, which is used for laughing gas and also in cars to make them go faster, is roughly 300 times worse of a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide.
Did you know that cars run on giggles?
Just like Monsters, Inc.
Nitroglycerin is the main component of dynamite.
Yes.
So, yeah, nitrogen can be dangerous. So first thing we're going to
talk about... I think there's three of them in dynamite.
I'll tell you, laughing gas has never worked on me.
No?
It makes my nose burn, and then there's dental pain.
What, you don't get it?
So first we're going to talk about the bends. So when a change in altitude occurs, nitrogen can form bubbles in the body. And this can occur after 66 feet or 20 meters of depth. So in 60 to 70% of cases where you get the bends, it just causes joint pain, usually in the shoulders. In 10 to 15% of cases, it happens in the brain. And then in another 10 to 15%, it happens in the skin. And it also happens in lungs. So basically, nitrogen is infused through your entire body. So the bubbles can really form anywhere. So if it forms
in your eyes.
Yeah, it can.
No!
So should it form in a certain part of you, this is what you can expect to happen. So if it happens in your joints, you'll get burning or an aching sensation immediately, and it can last for several hours. If it happens in your skin, it can cause itching, burning, and formication. One of my favorite words.
Honestly, it's a symptom.
Quick, honey, I got the bends.
Don't bend it, though.
Ouch, my skin.
So it can also cause your skin to change colors, swelling, and rashes.
Like what kind of colors?
Purple, blue, red, unpleasant.
Nothing real fun.
No, no polka dots. If it happens in the brain, you can get amnesia, hyperesthesia.
And silly dancing.
Hyperesthesia or paresthesia. You can get visual hallucinations, mood changes, seizures, and amnesia. Oh, I already said amnesia.
Double amnesia.
And amnesia again, I forgot.
Oh no, Sean has the bends.
Also, if it happens
what
in your joints...
What an unscripted joke.
I hope it was.
If it happens in your spinal cord, it can cause numbness or paralysis in the legs and incontinence.
Oh. So that's fine. Why does my spinal cord make me poop?
Yeah, we climbed too fast and I done pooped myself.
Can you imagine going through that in a wetsuit?
Oh, God.
A very wet suit.
And if it happens in your lungs, it can cause a persistent dry cough and a burning sensation.
And burps.
Yep. And it can also, in very rare cases, be deadly. So this is what happened to Melanie Stoddart. She was on vacation in the Maldives, and she was an experienced diver. So she went on a dive, and about a half an hour later, she wasn't feeling well, so she asked for help. She was taken back to the resort where the doctors determined that she needed a decompression chamber. Do you guys know how this works?
I do. Well, I've seen them.
So I'm basically an expert.
Yeah. they put you in a place...
Yes, the end.
Of controlled atmosphere. It's a controlled atmosphere where your body can normalize to the outside.
Yeah. So basically, what happens when you get the bends is you come up too fast, the nitrogen expands, and it forms bubbles. So if they put you in a compression chamber or decompression chamber, they increase the pressure in the chamber until the nitrogen bubbles go back away, and then they slowly decrease the pressure so that you adjust more naturally. So they kind of like put you back to the pressure you were at so you can come up more slowly this time. So the doctors determined that she needed one of these, but from where she was, the nearest hospital was 40 miles away over water. By the time the boat went from the hospital to there, got her, and brought her back, they decided she was too unstable to go in the decompression chamber. So they started doing CT scans and x-rays, but she went into cardiac arrest and died.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, it's bad. It's something that you just sort of have to deal with when you go diving. So our next story is a different way that nitrogen can kill you or cause you harm. So Gabby Scallion went out on her 18th birthday and had...
That's a made-up name.
Well, it's a British name, so yes.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm Deborah Onion.
And she went out and had herself a Nitro Jägermeister. If you don't know what this
that
is...
That sounds nice.
Basically, you put liquid nitrogen on top of an alcoholic beverage so that it looks cool and smokes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Everything is cooler when it
Indeed.
Smokes.
Pause.
But she wanted to be one of the cool kids, so she downed this thing as fast as she
could. She's going
to
be a very cool kid.
So she drank hers a little too fast, and then she started having some stomach problems, believe it or not. She was rushed to the hospital, but her stomach was destroyed and had to be removed.
I don't like her odds without a stomach.
Yeah, now her esophagus is attached directly to her small intestine.
How does that work?
You know how at the water park, how there's some slides that go around in bendy circles and stuff, and there's one slide that goes like straight down?
Yeah.
And the people that go down the straight down one go faster?
Of course.
It's like that.
Oh,
it's exactly like that. So she has no reservoir. There's no stomach there to slow it down. So she has to eat a little at a time all day long. And many foods cause her terrible pain because she has no stomach acid to break it down. So, you know when you swallow a chip? If she does that, she basically experiences that for about 6 hours.
Oh, God.
Quick question.
Yep.
What bar has liquid nitrogen on hand?
The coolest.
Yeah, that's actually
Yes, the coolest.
But
is it common?
Yeah, it is surprisingly common.
Gotta get out of Reno.
I've been out of Reno. I've never seen that.
So to me, this next way of dying from nitrogen is maybe the most terrifying way. So in 1981, during a training exercise for the Columbia spacecraft, they were testing a fire suppression method where basically they just flooded the chamber with nitrogen because then there'd be no oxygen to burn.
Sure.
So they tried it. It worked. But before the nitrogen had cleared out, 5 technicians went inside to inspect it.
These weren't the brightest technicians.
No one quite knows, looking back, why this happens. They didn't wait for the all clear, or no one gave it, or what. But basically, they all just kind of laid down and passed out.
You guys tired?
So a security guard put on an oxygen mask and ran in there and pulled them out. An ambulance was called, but the paramedics were held up for 7 minutes while going through NASA's very extensive security.
Oh, Christ.
So of the 5 people, 1 died on the way to the hospital and another died 2 weeks later. So yeah, our bodies don't have any way to detect nitrogen because it's 78% of the atmosphere. So if we detected it, we'd be doing it all the time. So
nitrogen usually has the green light to just go on through.
Yeah. So if you are in an atmosphere of pure nitrogen, you won't notice anything wrong. You'll just start to get sleepy and lay down.
Until you sleep.
And then you'll not wake up again.
Yeah, I actually hear it's one of the better ways to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that sounds, you know, relatively pleasant.
Yeah. I don't know. That terrifies me.
Yeah.
You wandered into a room and then suddenly you got sleepy and that's it?
And that was the end?
Yeah.
There's no more story after that?
Yeah. The end? Question mark? Yes.
No, that was...
Yeah, then the question mark gets erased.
John died.
So for our last story here, we're going to go on a little adventure. So on May 16th, 1866 in San Francisco, a box marked General Merchandise arrived in a Wells Fargo shipment. So this is back when Wells Fargo still made packages. They weren't a bank.
Yeah.
So this box was...
Is that a thing?
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't remember that being a thing.
No, Wells Fargo was a big thing of shipping back in the day.
They were a shipping company to start.
Is that during our lives?
During the Wild West.
No,
the Wild West. Okay.
Yeah, in the early 1900s, I think they converted to a bank.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, I'm not crazy then.
No. So they got a box, but it was leaking a little bit. So they brought it back to their headquarters, and two men with tools decided they were going to open it up and try and assess the damage. So they walked into the back with a couple of crowbars.
They're real go-getters.
Yep. And that was the last thing these two men ever did.
Because they retired after that.
Well, they went in and an explosion came out.
Two men enter, one explosion leaves.
So the back of the
Wells, he's just a child.
The back of the Wells Fargo building, the neighboring building, and two buildings behind that were demolished.
Jeez.
Oh, crap.
Apparently, not a pane of glass was left unshattered for half a mile in any direction. And in the aftermath, pieces of bone, some were identified as vertebrae and skull fragments, were embedded in buildings across the street. So what happened?
I think I know what happened.
To find out, we've got to go back a little bit further. So in 1863, a German man named Alfred patents what he calls blasting oil. Him and his brother open up a factory to start manufacturing blasting oil, but in 1864, it blows up. Imagine that.
It's a success.
Blasting oil.
Proof of concept.
So the factory explodes and it kills his brother. But Alfred says, I know what I did wrong, and immediately tries to open up a new factory.
I had a brother.
So luckily for Alfred, the military heard about this big explosion and they said, we love big explosions.
We heard you could make things blow up.
Yep. So the orders just came rolling in. So he makes his second factory and improves his safety protocols. But his second factory blows up in 1866. So it turns out what
famous last words were, I told you it would.
No, he wasn't there. Actually, he survived again. So, you know, he always had a really big insurance policy, strangely enough. So it turns out,
if you're making blasting oil, you probably should.
Well, turns out what he had invented was nitroglycerin. So what he did was he mixed gunpowder into his blasting oil, and this stuff was crazy explosive. Like, you could do...
Mixes it up in a blender.
Yeah, you could do anything, and this stuff would explode. It was so powerful that mining companies and the military wanted all they could get of it, so he had to find a way to ship it. So he found out that if you cooled it down to below 41 degrees Fahrenheit or 5 degrees Celsius, it became much more stable. But sometimes warming it back up made it blow up. So you had to be real careful with that point. But as long as it was cold, it wouldn't explode. So when they would pack it up and ship it out, they would pack it full of ice. So one of those packages ended up in San Francisco, where
Oops.
The box cracked and was leaking. And then two men started whacking at the box with a pair of crowbars. And yeah.
They're just hammering away at the substance that sometimes all it takes is just a wrong look.
Yeah.
And that's when Wells Fargo decided to get into the banking business.
That box is just thinking, I wish we were in a factory.
Well, actually, 3 weeks later, Wells Fargo said that they would no longer ship nitroglycerin. So poor Alfred had to find a new way to transport his blasting oil.
Yeah, that's when this country went down the toilet. Can't ship my blasting oil anymore.
And then Bush got a song name.
But Alfred lived and sold all of his blasting oil and became very rich. And he was something of a scientist. And when he died, he set aside a portion of his wealth to fund a yearly prize for accomplishments in science.
And I know what it is.
Damn it, I hope it was a prize in explosions.
So, yep, thanks to Alfred Nobel, we have dynamite.
Oh.
And that's how he got his start.
No, I missed the entire point of that. That's the Nobel Prize?
Yeah, you were talking when he said it.
Yep, Alfred Nobel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that is all the stories that I have.
Now, personal stories about nitroglycerin.
Yeah. Anybody have any?
I exploded.
Well, Andy, you were telling a laughing gas story.
No, that's just personal. Anytime I have laughing gas, it doesn't do anything to me other than make my nose burn and make me nervous.
Yeah.
But I do have a liquid nitrogen story.
Oh, yeah?
Where during my chemistry class of high school... Okay, so this is a very long... Well, it's a long-reaching story. The guy who was my chemistry teacher in high school was my dad's chemistry teacher in high school.
Oh, yeah. I had him, too.
Did he put the live mouse into the nitroglycerin? Not nitroglycerin, the liquid nitrogen like he did for us?
No.
He put a live mouse down into liquid nitrogen, pulled it back out, and shattered it with a mallet.
Damn.
Did it float?
I couldn't tell.
We all float down here.
Yeah, I can only imagine that little bits of that are just going to scatter into little nooks and crannies all over that classroom. And then
it's going to thaw out.
I came home, my dad said, yeah, he did that to us when we were in high school. I was like, oh my god, this man is a million years old and he's killing mice.
Yeah, he's some sort of serial killer.
You got any nice stories, Adam? Stories?
Besides breathing it pretty much all the time, I don't really think I do much with it.
I had a grandma that took nitroglycerin. It was in little tablets. But
Andy had a roommate that used to take silver nitrate.
Oh, really?
Well, that's a different story.
It's got niter in it.
Or no, it was the other silver thing, wasn't it?
No, it was silver nitrate.
Oh, okay.
Well, laughing gas does work on me. And
does it?
I had my wisdom teeth out recently, and I got laughing gas and twilight sleep because
oh god,
I'm a very fragile flower. And so they gave you the laughing gas first, and then they needed to put an IV in me to get the twilight sleep. And I can't tell you any story after that part, but because
everything you're saying is terrible. Gone.
But they were trying to get my hand so that they could put the IV in. And I was high.
So you can't do that. Look how cool it is.
No, I was. It was very important to me that I express how thankful I was that they were taking care of me, and also apologize for the trouble I was putting them through. I
said, "All right, enough with the thumbs up. Let's just put it down."
Oh my god!
So I was trying.
A very high Kelly is like a very drunk Andy.
So I was trying to tell the orthodontist thank you, and he just kept on saying, "Honey, give me your hand. Give me your hand." And I was like, but I really appreciate it.
And I'm already married.
See, when I got my wisdom teeth out when I was, 16, I told them, laughing gas doesn't work on me at all. And they did the thing, and I was like, oh, yes, my nose is burning. That's good. And they said, okay, we're going to put in the IV. I said, okay, I'm completely here. Just do it. Ow, that hurt. And they're like, that shouldn't have hurt. I was like, I swear to God.
I am not lying to you.
This is not a cry for attention.
Directly after the IV, I was out.
Yeah. Now it's time to play What Are Your Morals Worth?
It's time to play Adam's a Terrible Person.
So how much would someone have to pay you to dunk your hand into liquid nitrogen?
Oh, God.
$2 million. Easy.
$2 million?
Which hand?
Your pick. Lady's choice.
So if it's still my left hand, $2 million easy.
Like, I don't know if that would be like a really quick, intense pain or if it would hurt for a long time.
I think it would be no pain followed by intense pain.
I feel like that would hurt a lot when you first touch it.
I think that your nerve endings would be immediately frozen. You wouldn't feel anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, your nerves, I can't remember exactly the temperatures, but your nerves have two settings when it comes to cold. There's uncomfortable, and then there's pain for everything below
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I don't mean to brag, Andy, but my nerves is pretty quick.
Yeah, but I think your nerves die immediately.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be dead very quickly.
I'll lower it by a million if I get to shatter my own hand with a hammer.
No, I'd be passed out by that point.
So you don't have to leave it in there. This is just dunk it in, pull it out.
Is that enough to get like a, like completely frozen all the way through?
No, that would take upwards of 20 minutes.
I feel like that's going to hurt more.
In fact, I swear to God, I've seen the Mythbusters do it, and they came out unscathed.
They have done it.
Well, okay, so if I'm not being frozen entirely, $10.
$10?
The Mythbusters did it, came out unscathed.
That's fine. It's still a big risk.
Boiling lead.
Yeah, that was lead.
Oh. Yeah, $10. $10 if there's no risk, $1 million
It does seem like a much lower risk, so I'm going to say like $1,000.
What is wrong with you people? You need to value your bodies more. I value your bodies more.
That's enough to get me a cool prosthetic. If it goes really bad. Tell you what, we'll all put our hands in liquid nitrogen and you can ask for more money for all of us.
What are you thinking?
You go first or third.
I would do it. I like Andy's original answer. I feel like $2 million's a reasonable starting place for.
Yeah.
If I'm losing a limb, $2 million will make me go through everything.
Yeah.
So
noted. I would do it for $0.
Do you know something we don't?
I do know something you don't. So, Andy, you brought up Mythbusters.
This was rigged.
Yeah. So you brought up Mythbusters and the lead. The reason they were okay is something called the Leidenfrost effect, which is basically where in lead, it's because water around your skin is boiling and it creates a gas layer between you and the lead. So the water absorbs all the heat and you don't get any, as long as you do it real quick. Liquid nitrogen works the same way, except in the liquid nitrogen's case, it's the liquid nitrogen that boils due to the heat of your hand.
It's not actually touching you.
Yeah, so...
Which is pretty badass.
If you,
I still want $1,000.
I would... Oh man, I would do absolutely... I would pay $50 to say that I dunked my hand into liquid nitrogen.
I mean, yes, realistically, I'm not going to get hurt, but I'm a bargaining man.
Yeah. Well, I like that you stuck by your scruples.
See, for first, I thought that we were dunking our hand in and then removing it after it was fully frozen.
No.
Well, originally, that's what I thought, yes.
Yeah, I clarified. So, yeah, just in and out.
So, give me $1 million.
You said 10. That 10 was your final answer, Andy.
I think that's going to do it for this week.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Can you give us a second? My microphone is extra spooky right now.
Give us a second. Adam has to get rid of the spider on his microphone.
Tis the season.
No, like, Adam started snapping at me while you were doing here. We have a big old spider on Adam's microphone.
Adam, are you coughing up spiders again?